I'm excited to be with everyone this morning. If you can't tell when you look around, we are thick in the middle of flu season. So say thank you, sister, for the girls that are not here and that opted to stay home because they weren't feeling well or are with their sick kiddos. But thankful for those of us that aren't fighting influenza and could be here this morning. Let me open with prayer. Father, I just do pray over those women that are out and all those kiddos that are out fighting the flu bug, and just pray for health. Just pray for a great day for them at home today, just to be with you. And just pray over our teaching time this morning, Father, that you would just open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to how you have equipped us to do your work here in the body of Christ, Father. I pray that my words would just bring you honor and glory, and that you would just take over this teaching. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, we are in week 15 of Bible study, which just seems amazing to me. I'm diving into 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm titling this lesson, Gifted for Love. American Idol has always been a fun show for me to watch. I love to see just people's talents and how differently God has given people the gift of voice to kind of sing, or the talent of voice to sing. So I'd like us to just watch a clip before we dive into the lesson.
To become a big famous singer and performer, and this is just one way to do it if I make it.
What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing I Feel the Earth Move by Carole King.
All right, off you go.
I feel the earth move, follow me. Falling down, I feel my heart start trembling when I fall short of ground. Oh, baby, when I see your face mellow as the month of May. Oh, darling, I can stand it when you look at me that way. Yeah. I feel the earth move, fall on my feet. I feel the sky.
Sometimes we have the gift. And sometimes we just don't. Like, where was her mother, is what I'm thinking. And this is why we speak truth in love, right? Because we don't want to do that. We want someone who loves us to tell us the truth. But that poor girl missed it. You know, don't you wonder why that poor girl didn't get the talent of singing, but other people did? And when I look around at my friends, I wonder why some of them are so filled with mercy and compassion that they make me look cold and heartless next to them, or that I miss something. Some of my friends have such a gift of hospitality that I just love going into their homes because they make you comfortable and it's just warm and welcoming and it seems so easy for them. Or how about the friend that loves working with middle schoolers, who are the last group I would choose to work with? Love them, but don't want to be there. But this friend just feels filled up and thrives and just is in her element working with middle schoolers. Well, maybe it's because God has gifted each of those friends differently than he has gifted you. Those may very well be what Paul is talking about when he talks about spiritual gifts. For the last 11 chapters in 1 Corinthians, we've learned a lot about what those poor Corinthians were doing wrong and needed to fix. Does anyone else feel a little bit like, you know, we've just been beaten up each week a little bit by Paul to this point? Because it was all about themselves, and they had just a whole bunch of problems because of that. Well, you know, from chapters 1 through 11, we have a pretty good idea of what not to do in the local church. And I am excited to say this week, Paul starts to turn the corner with us. We start to veer into the things that we should do to build up and edify the church. How God has equipped us, how he uses us with special gifts and talents to really fully bless the body, to use our gifts and talents to do good within the church. And that's the spiritual truth this lesson is driving at today, that God equips us as believers with special abilities and talents for the common good of the church, that God equips us with special abilities and talents for the common good of the church. So open your Bibles with me. I've divided today's teaching into three areas that I want to just break it into and drill down in. The first is that the Corinthians were united in the family of God, verses 1 through 6. They were united in the family of God, just like we're united in the family of God. The second is that they had been gifted for the greater good, verses 7 to 11. And the third thing I want to talk about is that the Corinthians, like us, were unique in their design, but they should be united in their purpose, verses 12 to 31. So let's go to God's word in verses 1 through 6 and talk about that the Corinthians were united in the family of God. Well, when it comes to spiritual things, it's pretty clear from the way Paul opens this chapter that he didn't want the Corinthians to be uninformed of spiritual things. It wasn't going to be a good excuse, he was telling them, to say, oh, you know, I don't really know much about those spiritual gift things and it doesn't really matter. Or, you know, that's someone else's issue. I'll just let them figure that out and I'll stay over here where I'm comfortable. Paul was saying, you need to know about these. So let's read verses 1 through 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Okay, did anyone else pause there and say, kind of, what is Paul talking about? Well, think about walking into something that you have absolutely no experience at, and everyone else has no experience at either. And something that came to my mind, because I have one child still in college, was going to school your freshman year of college, getting dropped off in your first day of freshman orientation. Okay, no one there has any idea what's going on. You don't have any idea what's going on. It's all new to everyone. It's a little scary. It's a little overwhelming. It's also pretty exciting. And I don't know if you were anything like me, but I did some pretty dumb things probably in freshman orientation just out of ignorance. And certainly in my first semester of college when I was learning, because it was all new. And that's what's happening with the believers in Corinth. See, in their confusion about everything being new and unknown, they were just being unspiritual and extreme in the way they were using their spiritual gifts. They knew they had spiritual gifts, they just didn't know what they were. It's kind of like giving someone who's never driven the keys to the car and saying, you know, go for it, hon. I mean, we would never do that, but that's kind of where the Corinthians were. Paul, their church planter, their father in faith, had gone, and suddenly they're kind of finding out, wow, we've got these gifts and we don't know how to use them. So Paul contrasts kind of the dimness of their former selves as pagans who worshiped idols with the light of the Spirit that now they have as believers in Christ. See, before they were saved, they were without the Holy Spirit, who is our true source of knowledge. They didn't know what they didn't know. They thought they knew a lot, but they really didn't. So they worshiped and served these stone idols just out of their ignorance. But now, as believers who had been enabled by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, just like us, they no longer rejected Christ, but accepted him for who he was, their Savior and Lord. It was only because they had Jesus in them that they could say, Jesus is Lord, and mean it. Kind of like saying, I'm all in for Jesus. Well, let's continue to read verses 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of the gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. I know we have a lot of gifted singers in this group, unlike poor Mary, who was on the screen. Although there are some of poor Marys in here, and one might be me, and so I apologize. That's certainly, I was not in the line when God passed out the singing gifts. But a lot of us, even those of us that can't really sing, we're in choir at some point in our lives. So I'm going to use choir to illustrate kind of what's going on in Corinth. So imagine the Corinthians is a choir, and they all come in, and some of them have been given these really phenomenal gifts. But instead of all trying to sing in harmony and together and make it lovely, if I have that gift, I'm trying to shout you out, sister, so you can hear me over the choir. I am being extreme in the use of my gifts. It was more about me trying to show off what God had given me rather than being in harmony with my sisters in that body. So Paul reminds them, hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, you should be unified because you are part of a heavenly family. All believers share a common experience, and that's what Paul is reminding them of. We're all saved by faith, by grace alone, by no act of our own. We were all lost, and God pulled us in and saved us. We share that story. We're sisters in Christ. We're part of the body of Christ, and we have a heavenly Father. That's what we have in common. That's what the Corinthians had in common, and Paul was calling those Corinthians to remember because they were part of the family of God. They were part of the body of Christ. They should be united in how they were sharing their gifts to be used for the common good of the church. So, sisters, at this point, I just want to ask you, as we think about verses 1-6, how are you doing at being in harmony with your sisters in Christ? And are there any areas where you feel more competitive than complementary with your sisters? Just some questions to think about that Paul really pokes at me at with. Unity is for Christ, for the common good. Well, that takes me to my second point, which is that we are gifted for the greater good, verses 7-11. God has spiritually gifted each believer in the same way each member of a choir has a specific voice and they're all needed. God gives members of his family certain gifts that are needed in their local church. And when a believer exercises her gifts, God's people become real evidence that he is still alive and existing. We make beautiful music for the world around us to see God. So let's talk about what is a spiritual gift, verses 7-10. Well, a spiritual gift is a special talent, ability, skill given by God to a believer to benefit the common good. Let me repeat that. A special ability, talent, or skill given by God to a believer to benefit the common good. Okay, what is common good? What does Paul mean by that? Well, that comes from the Greek verb sapphiro, which means bring together like a symphony. That's where that word comes from, the same root word. So if you think about spiritual gifts being for the common people or for the common good, it's like bringing everything together to make beautiful music, even though we have very different skills, backgrounds, abilities. So here in this scripture, verses 7-10, Paul mentions 9 spiritual gifts that were present in the early church in Corinth. These are the gifts they had received to help build up and edify the church in that day. God gave them what they needed to make it work there. Well, on page 123 in your workbooks, if you did your homework, we came up with this, this listing of the different gifts from 1 Corinthians 12, from 1 Peter 4, from Romans 12, 6-8, and then I pulled some from Ephesians because I think we have so many gals in here that have the hospitality gift. I wanted to pull it up. So your list might look a little different from mine because based on what translation of scripture you have, the words are defined a little bit, they're described a little bit differently. But here's my list with a few others. And I just want, you don't have to copy mine because you got yours, you got it in your homework, I know, but I want you to think about this list, and a couple things when I did it this way were really clear to me. One is these lists are not the same, and I think that's important to note, that nowhere in Scripture does God give us a complete list of what are called spiritual gifts. Nowhere in Scripture. We see several partial lists. It's kind of like God didn't really want to put a whole package of them because he knew we might misuse that package or be looking at that package like it's a menu and I want to see where I am. And maybe it's because God can give any gift he wants at any time to any believer to be used for whatever their body of believers needs. God's not tied to our list. He's the creator. He can do whatever he wants. The spiritual gifts that we see in Corinth today were what they needed in order to build up their church. And let me just read verses 7 to 10. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There's that sapphiro. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Paul keeps telling them it's the same Spirit because he wants them to realize that's the Holy Spirit. It's not some idol that they used to worship. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Those were the gifts that God gave to that Corinthian church because he wanted to give them everything they were going to need to build up and to be edified at the time they were there. 1 Peter 4:10 says it this way, as each of us has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace. That's the purpose of the gifts, to be used in the church. So how do we get spiritual gifts? Well, when I was a child at Christmas, I loved making my Christmas wish list, and I would cull through. This was pre-Pinterest days, but, you know, so I would go through all those toy catalogs, looking at pictures and making my list. You know, unfortunately, spiritual gifts isn't like that. We don't get to, like, cull through the Bible and say, oh, I want to be like Moses and raise my stick and have it part the water. That's not how God works with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are also not like natural talents that you might have inherited from a parent or learned at a young age. Just because your mom has a certain spiritual gift doesn't mean you will, or because your daddy does doesn't mean you will. Verse 12:11 tells us that the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts as he wills. He distributes the gifts according to his plan and his pleasure. He selects our gifts for us personally, tailoring them to our personalities and our natural skills and what is needed in the body of believers we're a part of. The result is a healthy variety of gifts like we see in Corinth, leading to and supporting a variety of the ministries we're working on, producing good results for God's glory and God's purpose. God can give additional gifts anytime he wishes. So just because you have one spiritual gift doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to change. Nothing in Scripture tells us that you may not get another one. In fact, Paul's exhortation at the end of this chapter shows us that it's not wrong to desire more spiritual gifts or a new spiritual gift, or even to work to develop the spiritual gifts that God has given us. He encourages us to do that and even to desire the gifts that will most impact our local church. Well, that sounds so simple and clear. Spiritual gifts are special talents and abilities given by our Heavenly Father to help us love and serve each other. But I want to just stop here, ladies, and acknowledge what so many of us know is true, that spiritual gifts can be a true source of divisiveness in the Christian community. See, we disagree on, do spiritual gifts still exist today? Which ones still exist today? How are people to use them? And I will tell you, sometimes we don't act very Christ-like in the way that we debate about spiritual gifts. Churches divide on these things and struggle with these things. So I will just acknowledge that in this group with women from 35 different churches, we have a lot of differences of opinions. And you know what? That's okay. Those differences are welcome here. That's how we learn. That's what encourages us to dig deep into Scripture and know what we believe and why. But I will also tell you that spiritual gifts are not an essential of the faith. This is not a salvation issue. So we're not going to draw a line in the sand and say, here's what we believe and here's why, you know, we're not going to do that because this is not an essential of the faith, which if you were with us in the fall, we spent lots of time drilling down. So what is important for us to remember about spiritual gifts? Scripture tells us that these are gifts we receive from our loving Heavenly Father so that we can more effectively love and serve the local church, serve the church. They're always given for the benefit of the church. So if you get into discussion with someone who has a big difference than you, one of the questions to ask is, does what they are talking about bring glory to the individual who's using that gift, or does it glorify and edify the body of believers? That's one of the best questions to ask. That's what we're looking for. Is that gift for the body? So ladies, God wants us to cherish the gifts he's given us, celebrate the gifts he's given to other gals, and use those gifts to lovingly build up and serve the church. So how can you develop and deploy your spiritual gifts is a question I would have for you. Can you celebrate the spiritual gifts of others? And how can you encourage other gals to use their gifts? Because we're charged to do that. And that takes me to my third point, which is we are diverse by design, united in our purpose. And I love this section of scripture because, you know, Paul, you know, has been kind of pounding, I feel, a little bit on the Corinthians and on us. But here he uses a really fun, witty analogy to help us understand what he's trying to teach. And I love how he does that. It shows us a little bit of Paul's heart. To drive home the need for the church to be an independent community, growing together, Paul compares the unity and diversity of the body of Christ to the human body. You know, from the tops of our heads to those bottoms of our feet, our body parts are radically diverse, but they're united to help us function and stay healthy. And Paul is saying, that's just like the church. We look different, we act different, we have different gifts and talents, but we're supposed to be united to make it all work for the local church. And I want to read verses 12 to 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. At the moment we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit enters the new believer and baptizes her into the body of Christ. And as members of the body of Christ, we depend on each other like the parts of the human body. Well, you saw that big old eye on that last overhead from downtown Dallas. It's on Main Street if you've ever gone and seen the big eye. And just to illustrate this, trying to be a little like Paul with his humor, my community group gals minus one stopped there on Monday as we were downtown doing something. Can't you tell how shy they are and just... But aren't they cute with the big eye? But think about, I mean, here's what Paul's saying. You know, if we were all just a big eye, it wouldn't work. And a big eye just sitting with a bunch of other believers isn't going to be real helpful. It may be a big, beautiful eye, but it can't walk, it can't hear, it can't speak, it can't do a whole lot on its own. If we all looked like that eye, we would be in big trouble. That's why each of us is different and unique. We're not all eyeballs, thank goodness. As verse 18 says, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each of them, as he chose. And that's what Paul is getting at with his wit and humor here. Diversity in the human body is essential to proper functioning, and it is essential to the church. God designed diversity. We are not supposed to look like cloned Bible women. We're supposed to be different and unique by his design. I love how the Message puts verses 19 to 24. So I'm going to read this. But here it goes. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it's only because what you are a part of. Well, that's a little convicting, isn't it? An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you? As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary it is. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or inside. It all matters. You give it dignity and honor just as it is without comparison. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? From the Message. Well, I know some of you are thinking hair. Paul was driving you to the stomach thing. And, you know, I had to think, recently I had a colonoscopy, not really what you want to talk about from the front of the room, but it did occur to me that, and I will tell you that most of us don't think about our colons, right? Like, how's your colon today? You know, is it doing well? Your colon doing good? But having had a mother who battled colon cancer and watching her struggle through that, I do think about my colon enough that every 3 years I get a colonoscopy, which now for those of you that are 40 is recommended at the age of 40. It keeps going down because colon health is so important. And you know, I want a healthy colon because you know it absorbs nutrients, it removes waste, and maybe don't go to the rest of the things it does, but you know the rest of that. But every part matters, even the parts we don't think about. And ladies, in this body of Christ, no matter how small and unimportant you think you are or feel, you matter. You matter to God. You matter to our ability to do things to His glory in this body. Every person, every gift matters. So are you asking, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. How do I find out? Well, I can send you Watermark's website where you can take a shape inventory, a spiritual gifts test to kind of get you started. And it's going to be based on things and preferences that you have. And while tests like that help, most people would say there are other ways you can figure it out too. Start by looking at your life. What are your preferences? How has God wired you? What do you get excited about? When do you feel filled up when you're serving? When do you feel most at peace serving? Just what are you naturally good at? What would the other gals in your life, your community group, what would they say might be your spiritual gifts? Because they probably have seen a lot and are probably encouraging you in those things. So take a test, do some self-examination, talk to the other women in your life, and you're just going to discover more about how Christ has gifted you and how to put it to use for Him. So my questions here are, do you know your gifts? And if not, how can you best determine them and put them to use for God's glory? Ladies, 12:27 says, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. We are the visible hands and feet of Christ, and He's gifted us to do great things. Well, I just want to wrap up with talking about how this works here. And I just want to say downstairs right beneath us, there are 350 little people that you have dropped off. Now, maybe not today because of the flu, but we laugh and describe ourselves, and we know we are a women and children's Bible study because there might be 500 of us, but there are 350 little people downstairs. And we could just hire babysitters to take care of your kids, but we don't, because we have women with amazing spiritual gifts down there loving, cherishing, singing with, praying over, rocking, laughing, and playing with your kiddos. They have the gifts of administration to make all of that work down there. They have the gifts of mercy and compassion to hug and rock. They have the gifts of teaching, to teach Bible stories, and to teach God's word in song. They're so creative, and it is a beautiful thing. But praise God, those 50-plus women that are downstairs, both paid and unpaid, because we do have paid staff with the littles, but they're all believers, and they all have gifts that involve loving, cherishing, and teaching kiddos. We are so blessed that those women downstairs sacrificially said, I will not do Bible study because God has equipped me to love your children and put my gifts to use for Him down there. God provides, and we just need to step in and serve where He's gifted. Well, I love how Paul closes this section of Scripture. So let me read verse 12:31. In that he sends with, and I will show you still a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Where's Paul going? Well, Paul ends with encouragement that he's going to show the Corinthians, he's going to show us a more excellent way. And that's the way of love, which is very appropriate as we're Valentine's Eve today. Our ability, our ministries, our individuality are all important, but love is even more important, and love is how we pour it out into our family of God for the greater good, for the common good, for that symphira. And so there it is, ladies. That is the truth that Paul's driving at. God has given each of us a special gift, maybe multiple special gifts, to be used in unity and in love to build up this church. Jump in with us. Don't miss the opportunity to glorify in the gifts he's given you. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for just the way you have equipped the women here to just love and serve. I know that you've uniquely gifted and called each one in this room to serve in your kingdom. So I would just pray for great discussion in our small groups, that we would walk away more curious about the gifts we might have and how to use them for your glory. I pray that we wouldn't be divisive about where we come from and what we've learned before, but just really be open to hearing the scripture, Father, hearing your truth teach us about the gifts. Father, we love you. We just thank you that as women, we can come together, that we're provided this space and this opportunity to just learn about you and just the amazing ways that you love us, you pursue us, and you gift us. In your name, I pray. Amen.